Okay, as we've seen a couple of times in the past, pieces from the Tolner Rebbe. Tolner Rebbe of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim, wrote a sefer called Hema Yenachemuni. And sometimes we've read the pieces inside. I decided today I was going to take the piece, chop it up, and turn it into a shir. But almost everything we're going to say here is straight from that sefer in this week's Parsha. And it's a very beautiful idea based on really Rav Chaim Brisker in a certain sense. So it's very geshmak. Let's take a look. Very simple question. Right, the pasuk says, "V'nasata el ha'aron es ha'edus asher atein elecha." We're told to place within the aron the edus. Put right. This week's parash, we're building the kelim, we're preparing the mishkan. Make sure you put the edus into the aron. V'nasata el ha'aron es ha'edus asher atein elecha. What's the edus? So Rashi says the edus is ha'Torah. Shehi le'edus beini uveinechem. That I've commanded you in the mitzvos that are written within. Okay? So make sure that you place within the Aron, right, the Eidos, the Torah, in the form of the Luchos. Okay. That's what it says in Parakhaf Hei Pasuk Tazayin. Then it goes on and it describes what else is put into the construction of the Aron. The Aron has a cover, the Aron has kruvim. So the Torah goes on in Pasuk Yedzayin, in source number 3, Vasisa Kaporas Zahav Tahor. You should make a golden cover for the Aron. Amasayim v'chetzi arka, v'ama v'chetzi rachba, v'asisa shnayim kruvim zahav, miksha ta'aseh osam, solid piece of gold, you should make the kruvim, mishnei kitzois hakaporas, v'aseh kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, v'kruv echad mikatsa mizeh, min hakaporas ta'asu as hakruvim, Ashnei kitzosav. Okay, great. So you have a kaporas, you have kruvim, great. Pasachav aleph, look what happens. V'nasat es hakaporas ala aron milamala. The kaporas is the cover of the aron, so obviously it's placed on top. Oh, and by the way, the el ha'aron titen asa'edus. Make sure that you put what? The edus, you put the luchos, you put the Torah, which is the edus, which testifies to the relationship we have through the mitzvos. Make sure you put it inside the aron. Asher etene lecha. No, he just told me that in Pasuk Tazayin. So the simple question we're going to deal with is why does the Torah repeat in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, put the Eidos into the Aron if you already told me that in Pasuk Tazayin? Why do you need to tell me twice? So of course, where better place to start in answering any question of Chumash than Rashi? Right, Rashi's curious about this. You told me in Pasuk Tazayin, put the Luchos in the Aron. You told me in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, put the Eidos in the Aron. What's going on here? Says Rashi in source number 4, Lo yadati lama nichpo. I'm not sure why it's repeated. Sherei kvar nemar v'nasata el ha'aron es ha'idos asher atein elecha. V'yesh lomar sheba l'lamed shebeodo aron levado belo kapores yitein tchil ha'idos l'socho v'acher kach yitein es kapores alav. That first you should put in the luchos, before you put the cover on, and only afterwards should you put the cover on. V'chein matzino k'shehikim es ha-mishkan nemar v'yitin es ha-eidus el ha-aron. It says later on in Shmos Perek Mem, the end of Shmos, they placed the eidus into the aron, and only afterwards it says v'yitin es ha-kaporas el ha-aron milamala. I hate to be simplistic, but do you have another way to put the luchos in once the cover's already on? Like, what's the chiddush here? Make sure you put, right? Make sure you put the luchos into the aron before you close the aron. Oh, because I was thinking of closing the aron and then putting the luchos in.
You never know with the aron.
You never know, so maybe, it's an amazing, you can think of it like that. You never know with the aron, right? Nothing was normal about the aron. Gemara says in 3 places in Shas, aron's enam in amida, right? It didn't take up space in a natural way. Gemara in Megillah and Yom HaBavasra, the aron was the whole thing was a big miracle. So okay, so it could be you could put the cover on and then, But it's such a strange Rashi. The Mefarshim asked this on Rashi. As if we had another option. When it's still in Aron before, the Kaporas first put the Eidos in, and then afterwards put the Kaporas on. Okay?
You should never close it without it being something.
So you're saying, right, so you could say, maybe you would put the cover on, right? And then you'll open it up. But the cover should never touch it until, right? The cover should never be placed on.
It should be closed with nothing inside
it. Okay. Okay, so we can think about that, and I'm sure we could say that b'derech hapshat. But let's try to go a little bit deeper. Okay, Now again, this piece is not like overly Hasidish at all for the Talmud Rebbe and his style. And he's going to show us some very, very beautiful yesodos in understanding the nature of the Aron, the Kedusha of the Aron. Where does it come from? How does the Kedusha of the Aron descend upon the Aron? And how does the Aron become an Aron? How does it become worthy of the title Aron? Okay, so this is the question the Mefarshim ask on Rashi. What's the Hava Mina that you're going to put the cover on first and then try to put the Luchos in? Obviously, you're going to put the Luchos in and then you're going to cover it. During Bayis Sheni, did we have an Aron? We didn't have an Aron. During Bayis Sheni, we did not have an Aron. The Gemara in Yoma gives two explanations why we didn't have an Aron. We normally assume, the better of the two options, which is what? That Yoshiyahu hid away the Kalim. Other option is the Kalim were taken captive. We'd rather assume, okay, so let's go with that Shita. Yoshiyahu hid the Kalim. Good? Now, during Bayis Sheni, did they have some Kalim? The answer is yes. They made new Kalim. The authentic Kalim, the original Kalim were hidden away. And they made new Kalim. Did they make an Aron? They didn't make an Aron. How do you know they didn't make a replica Aron? How do you know for sure they didn't make... Why? Tell me, how do you know that they didn't make a replica Aron? Where in Shas do we know that they didn't have a replica? How do we know that by Bayis Sheni there was no Aron? So that's a Mishnah in Yoma. What's the Mishnah in Yoma in source number 5? Mishanital Aron. From the time the Aron was taken, that sounds more like the opinion that Nebuchadnezzar took the Aron, as the Gemara discusses, but again, we like the other opinion better, that we hid away the Kalim before the bad guys came. But from the time that there was no Aron, in other words, Bayis Sheni, when there was no Aron, Evin Haisasham Miyamos Nevi'im Rishonim, there was a stone that was there. From the times of Nevi'im Rishonim, the Mefarshim on the Mishnah say, that's not to say that the Nevi'im Rishonim placed the stone there. The stone goes back to when? Creation of the world. What's the name of the stone? Vishasiyah Haisanikris. The Evin Shasiyah. It was called Evin Shasiyah because Misham Hushas Ha'olam. That's from there the world was founded. So the Mefarshim on this Mishnah explained that Miyamos Nevi'im Rishonim means it was first recognized and discovered and acknowledged during the period of the Nevi'im Rishonim. But Shasiyah Haisanikris, it was the Evin Shasiyah from the beginning of time. Gavoa min aretz shalosh etzba'os va'aleh hayeno sein dot dot dot. And it was upon that, when there was an Aron, when the Kohen Gadol would go into Kodesh Kadashim, he would stand between the badim, between the poles of the Aron, and he would sprinkle the blood in the direction of the Aron. But when there was no, as the Mishnah, this is a long Mishnah, I cut it out. But as the Mishnah goes on, when there was no Aron, the Kohen would what? Hayeno sein dot dot dot. He would sprinkle the blood on or towards the Evin Shasiyah. Okay, that was the place where the Aron would have rested. When there was no Aron, so they sprinkled in the direction of the Aron, towards Evin Shasiyah. Yeah.
Shasiyah wasn't there before?
No, it was there. The Evin Shasiyah was always there, but the Aron was resting on top. During Bayis Rishon. Now there was no Aron, so they had the Evin Shasiyah. So the Kohen Gadol stood there and acted as if, you know, the Aron was there, sprinkled in the direction of the foundation of the world. Okay. So the Rashash, over there in Maseches Yoma, asks the very simple question, why not make an Aron? What was preventing them from making an Aron? Why couldn't they make a replica Aron? The Mishnah Mishunita Aron Evin Haisasham. So he says, I don't understand, it's kosherly. I don't understand. Madu Asu Aron Acher Bayis Sheni. Why didn't they make an additional Aron by Bayis Sheni? Madu Asu Aron Acher Bayis Sheni. No, what do you say? What are they going to put in it? Who says you have to put anything in it? Says so? It's ma'akev? It's ma'akev to have something in it? Is lechem upon ma'akev the building of a shulchan? Okay, so you're right. I'm just messing with you. You're a chassan, you know? You're supposed to give the chassan a hard time. It's hachana for marriage. No, it's not. Just joking. So the Chassan says, Rabbi David says, what are you talking about? What do you mean? They can't. Of course they can't build an Aron. If you'll say, you can't. I just read the Psukim. The Psukim say the purpose of the Aron, v'nasat el Aron as Eidos. So it says the Rashash, exactly that. Placed within the Aron, the Torah, the Luchos, the Mashma di Karo Eino El Litzorach Eidos. It's mashma, says the Rashash, that what? that the purpose of the Aron is to house the Luchos. Halogam bechoshen ksiv, by the Choshen it also says you should make sure to place the Urim. And they were able to make a Choshen to be mashlim, the eight begadim, even though the Choshen wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to be. So how do I know for sure that you can't have an Aron without Luchos? I can have a Choshen without its ideal structure, that its ideal ability to function. He says, I'll tell you how we know. That's the answer to our question. What was our opening question? Why does it say twice? Why does it say two times, put the Eidus in the Aron? What happens in the context of holy things when something is stated twice? It makes it li'ikuva. When the Torah repeats something, it makes it li'ikuva. If you remember when we were drawing pictures of the base of the Mizbeach on the board first semester, yeah, we were trying to count how many times the blood goes around. When you get around the second time, that becomes, right, becomes ma'akev. So he says that's maybe the pshat. Says the Rashash, you know why you can have a choshen that's imperfect, but you can't have an aron without eidus? V'ulai mishum, where it's bolded. V'ulai mishum de kofal Hashem Yisbach b'tzivoy nesina se'eidus e'lov v'parshas truma. It could be that's the answer to Rashi's question. Why does it mention two times put the luchos in the aron, both in pasuk tes zayin v'chaf aleph? Mashma dila akev. It must be that it's li'kuva, that what, that the Torah repeated it. That's the klal. I put in the footnote. You have in zvachim chaf gimel amar aleph chaf gimel amar beis that the pasuk repeated it in order to make him akev. Hey, that's a refrain you have in kachim sometimes. That why is it mentioned twice? It mentioned it twice to make it li'kuva. That's a rule by kachim. If the Torah says something twice, it means not only is it the ideal way to do things, but it's absolutely necessary that it should be that way. And therefore, exactly like you said, Chassan, you're right. An Aron without Luchos, but now the Rosh Hashanah is telling us deeper why, an Aron without Luchos is not an Aron. Because the Luchos being in the Aron is li'ikuva. It's ma'akiv. It's an absolute necessity in order for the Aron to be an Aron. Okay? Now the Talmud Rebbe goes on to explain this in the language of Rav Chaim Brisker, who had a similar explanation to the Rosh Hashanah. But essentially, what have we just said? By all the other kelim, is it worth it to have a menorah if we don't have oil? Yes or no? The answer is yes. The menorah and the oil that will fill the menorah are two separate things. Is it worthwhile to have a shulchan even without lechem upon him? The answer seems to be yes. What's unique about the Adar? I assume it's MTA. What are they for bringing about? Hashuas Hashchina. It's Truma. Parshas Truma for bringing, of course. Sounds pretty loud. Very Leibedik. Okay, good. Listen, it's almost out there. Time to make hachanas. So here's how Rav Chaim Brisker says it. Rav Chaim Brisker says, and again, to use, I guess, more Brisker terminology, by every kli there are two mitzvahs. Two distinct mitzvahs. What are the mitzvahs? There's the mitzvah of making the kli. There's a mitzvah of making the kli. And then there's a mitzvah on the gavra to use the kli a certain way. So there's a mitzvah, let's say, to make a shulchan. And then there's a mitzvah, a separate mitzvah in a sense, of offering the lechem upon him. There's a mitzvah of the menorah, that's a din in the kli, in the chefs of the kli. And then there's a mitzvah on the gavra to light the menorah. There's a mitzvah to build the mizbeach, that's a din in the mizbeach. And then there's a mitzvah on the gavra to offer karbanos on the mizbeach. Says Rav Chaim Brisker, part of the cheftza of the kli of the aron, part of the cheftza of the aron is that it has to have Torah. The same way an aron has to have poles, the same way an aron has to have rings to support those poles, the same way the aron has to have a cover, those are all parts of the aron. So too, the luchos within the aron is part of the cheftza. It's mamish loud. Why? I didn't know. Like, whoever it is, I'm confused. Like, what? That's what I'm saying. Like, who's this large chevra of Jews singing Chabad Nagunim in the hall? If it's empty, it's great. If it's Wayu, it's also great. But I'm just not sure where it's coming from. Yeah. So the cheftza of the Aron For an Aron to be an Aron, it has to have what? It has to have luchos. Without luchos, it's not bechlal an Aron. The cheftz of the Aron is incomplete. It's not two separate things. It's not there's an Aron and here's how we use it. We use it to store luchos. Like a menorah which we use to store oil, or a shulchan that supports bread. Mamish part of the Aron, the building of the Aron, the poles, the rings, the cover, the kruvim, those are all parts of the Aron. The walls that physically make up the structure of the box of the Aron. So too, the luchos are an integral part of the Aron. And without the luchos, it's not enough. So Talmud Rabbi says, I'll bring you a proof that this is true. From Adas Kanim in this week's parsha. What do the Bali Atosos say in source number 7? When the Torah says, you shall place the Eidos within the Aron, says the Apostle Tazayin, right? That was the first time it was mentioned. Ein ze ikir hatzivoy, the aksiv lamata vela aron titein as eidos. What it says in Tazayin is presumably not the main mention of it, because it says it again in Chaf Aleph. Again, the same question that Rashi was dealing with. Same question the Rashash was resolving his question with. Elalitein ta, look what he writes here. Mipnei ma lo yasur mimenu. When the Torah says you're not allowed to remove the poles, when are you not allowed to remove the poles? Why are you not allowed to remove the poles? Kedei shelo yimash mishu bo, ki tzarech litein bo asa eidus v'yeh kadosh. It's dafka what? It sounds like it's saying, the Baal HaTosos seem to be saying, it's dafka when you have the eidus that the kedusha comes. That it's dafka, and therefore the isser of removing the poles of the Aron is only if it's an Aron. What makes it an Aron? Say the Baal HaTosos. The tzorech is litein boas eidus v'yiyeh kadosh. The kedusha is dependent upon the luchos being in the Aron. And therefore, it could be that if you have an Aron, for some strange reason, and I'll show you an interesting example in a second, if you have an Aron without luchos, so maybe the regular rules of how to treat the Aron don't apply. You're not allowed to take the poles out of the Aron, but it's only called an Aron if it has luchos in it. If there's no luchos in it, then it's not called an Aron, and that isser of removing the badim would not apply. Now, is there a point in Jewish history where we have an Aron without luchos? So look at the following scenario, yeah?
Navi?
Yeah, where? What?
When the Aron's captured.
Okay, good. So let's see what happened there. There's a very interesting medrash there. In Shmuel Aleph, end of the Tekufa of Eli, and it's a dark story for Klal Yisrael, right? The Navi describes the downfall of Klal Yisrael at the hands of the Plishtim, and the Aron is captured. Very difficult psukim to read. Perek Dalet of Shmuel Aleph. Vayilachamu plishtim. Vayinagef Yisrael v'yanusu ish l'ohalav. Vatehi hamaka gedola ma'od. Vayipol mi Yisrael shloshim elef ragli. 30,000 foot soldiers. Very terrible destruction for Klal Yisrael. And in a certain sense, worst of all, va'aron elokim nilkach. The Aron of Hashem was captured, and Eli's own two children, Chafni and Pinchas, were killed. Says the Navi, Pasuk Beis, Vayarat Ish Binyamin Mehama Aracha. A fellow from Binyamin ran from the front lines. Vayavo Shilo Bayamahu. And he comes to give the report. And of course, that's a terrible report, and the people are crying and screaming, and Eli dies upon hearing that the Aron has been captured. It's Mamash Apachat. In addition to his own children being killed and 30,000 Jews being killed, terrible, terrible story. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, who is this Ish Binyamin who came running? What was his report? So listen to what the very interesting medrash. Says the medrash, Zeh Shaul. Shaul came to bring the report. Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Simon, Rabbanan. Rabbi Levi Amar, Shishim Mil, Halach Shaul, Boswayom. B'ma'aracha haya v'shama shenashru aluchos v'halach v'chotvan miyad galyas uva. Shaul HaMelech heard that the Aron had been captured. He went and he at least grabbed back the luchos. And he came to give the report that they lost the box, but they kept the luchos. And the Rabbanan say, no, it was 180 mil. But again, the same conclusion. He ran and he went and he saved the luchos.
Shaul saved
the luchos. Shaul went, v'chotvan miyad galyas uva.
Aren't they massive?
He grabbed, man, that's a massive. 6x6 tefachim. They're heavy, I guess. Shaul was a strong guy. Capable individual. Okay. Good. So the Plishtim were left with an Aron and with no luchos. Now, yeah.
Might be given away
in
the
So that's it. Good. So what are the Baal HaTosos? Let's chazer now. At this point. We're more than halfway through the shir, so let's chazer what we know so far. The Baal Yatosfos told us, right, that if you have an Aron without Luchos, we just saw, an Aron without Luchos, there's no Isser. It sounds like it. There's no Isser to remove the poles. And based on what we saw from Rav Chaim Brisker and the Rashash, that an Aron without Luchos is essentially not an Aron Bechlal. So you would think at this point what the Plishtim have is not an Aron, right? What the Plishtim have is not an Aron, okay? The question is going to be, what happens now that the Plishtim have the that which looks like an Aron, yeah? What happens next in the story?
They
took the Aron, the Plishtim take the Aron, and right, everything starts, all sorts of bad things start happening.
It must be an Aron, otherwise why would we care?
Right, so first of all, we still care terribly, even though we have the Luchos, we're still terribly destroyed, okay, but even if it's not halachically, it has a shame, Aron, Kedusha's Aron, it's still a big deal, the Plishtim got the box. Even if it's not fully functioning because it doesn't have the Luchos. But more than that, right? Like Avram's saying, we still have the Aron when it's by the Plishtim is doing all sorts of wondrous things. It's causing them to get sick. Dagon keeps collapsing, keeps falling down, right? And eventually they realize this is a holy box, we better give it back. Now when they bring it back, how do they transport it? They carry it on a wagon with cows, exactly. Okay, so presumably, let's think for a second. What's the halacha by the Aron? How is it meant to be carried? And who carries it? The Leviim. And which family of the Leviim? Kohas. Kohas has to carry it by the pole, even though the Aron carried them. Okay, right? But it has to be. So you would think, says the Tolner Rebbe, just like the Baal Yatosfos told us that if you don't have luchos, there's no iser. Sounds like there's no kedushas Aron. There's no iser removing the poles. So you would think. When they were bringing back the Aron, even though it's not being carried by Kahas, that's okay, because it's not an Aron. It's not an Aron if what? If it doesn't have Luchos. Okay, but what's strange is David Melech Dafka got in trouble for what? For not transporting the Aron on the shoulders of the Leviim. Look what the Gemara says in Sota, source 10. Darash Rava, Mipnei Ma Nanash David, Mipnei Shekara L'Divrei Torah Zmiros. David got himself into trouble because he spoke in a way about Torah that we don't speak about Torah. Right? Happens to me we do speak often about Torah in this way. Right? The song of Torah, the zemer of Torah. Yeah? Kisvu lachem es hashira azos. Torah is a song. So David says, Zmiros hayu lichu kecha beveis migurai. Your Torah is like a beautiful tune. Hashem says, my Torah is like a tune? Avi lo kadosh baruch hu. Divrei Torah shakasu behen. His ayif einechabo ve'einenu. Torah, which is so serious. Torah is not a song. Torah, with the blink of an eye, you could lose everything. After chorus on Zemiros, it's like a song to you. Hareini machshilcha b'davra shafilu tinokel shabes rab and yodinosa. You speak scornfully about my Torah, I'll cause you to mess up in a mefurish of pasuk in chumash. I'll cause you to stumble in Torah. And it'll be a reminder to you, I need to be more sensitive and more careful about my attitude towards Torah. What pasuk did David stumble in that even a school child knows about? Dechsev levnei kahas lo nasan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bekasef yisau. Everybody knows. Every little kid in school knows that what that bnei kahas have to be the ones to carry the aron. Ve'iu asya ba'eglasa, and you brought it. What you brought it with an agala. You brought it with a wagon drawn by animals. Nu. So we have a problem with this Gemara. Because I thought the Aron wasn't an Aron then. We just read in the Medrash, the Alkot Shimoni, that the Luchos had been brought back. What's the Pshat? What's the Pshat? So the way to answer is to have one more explanation of why you have the repetition in Pasuk Tazayin and Pasuk Chavav. Again, what did Rashi tell us? How do we start? Rashi said, it comes to teach us the order. To teach us that what? That you got to make sure you put in the luchos before you put the cover on. So we said, that's obvious. So Rashash told us it came to show us that it's li'ikuva. Right? That you can't have that Dafka created our question here. If there's no luchos, then it's not an aron. So why did David HaMelech get in trouble? So I'll tell you another pshat and why you have a double lashon. In the Medrash Shochar Tov, and in the Medrash Tanchuma, which you don't have on the page in front of you, in Vayakel, in Ozayin, the Midrashim say, you know why it says put it in the Aron, put the Luchos in the Aron? You know what's the answer? To put the whole Luchos in the Aron and put the broken Luchos in the Aron. Yeah? when Shaul, when the Ish Bin Yamin came and brought back, for he grabbed it out of Goliath's hands and brought it back, what did he bring back? Says the Talmud Rebbe, he brought back the whole Luchos. But the broken Luchos were still in the Aron. And apparently, and this is his Chiddush, apparently, even if there's broken Luchos in the Aron, that's still called an Aron. The Rashash and Rechaim Brisker would say, that's still with broken Luchos in an Aron, that's still called an Aron. And that's why the Aron can do miracles. That's why Dagon is collapsing. That's why the Plishtim are getting sick. That's why David and Melch is still getting in trouble. Because David says, but there's no Luchos. There are still Luchos in the Aron. There's broken Luchos in the Aron. Broken Luchos in the Aron is still called an Aron. And Talmud Rebbe says, with this you can explain in such a precise way the Lashon of the Sifrei. Look what the Medrash says in source number 11. It's mamish beautiful. It fits so nicely and neatly. V'chein atam motzei ba'aron elokim sheyared lebeis oved edom. When the Aron was being transported to Gat, right, to Gat, to the home of Oved Edom, v'nizbarech b'shvilah, and the Sukkim described Mefurash over there in Shmuel Beis, how he's having success. Shenamar v'yugad lemelech David lemor beirach Hashem es beis Oved Edom es kol asher lo b'avur Aron Elokim. He's had tremendous blessing in his home because the Aron's been living by him for a long time. It's been in his field. So look what the Medrash says. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer uma Aron shelo nase lo lischar v'lo lehefsid el l'shivrei luchos shabonis barich b'shvilo. If an Aron, which was created specifically for the Shivrei Luchos, brought bracha to the field of Oved Edom, kal v'chomer tzadikim shabavuram nivra ha'olam, all the more so, good things will come for them and because of them. Well, hold on a second. What was the Lashon of the Medrash? The Ma Aron was Nase for the Shivrei Luchos Shabo. That's why the Aron was created, for the Shivrei Luchos. So it says the Talmud Rebbe, no, of course, the Aron was created for the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. But in the context of this story, it's Dafka highlighting what? The Aron which brought bracha to this home, despite only having, and it's calling it an Aron, the Aron which brought bracha to this home, despite the fact that it was only the Shivrei Luchos. So it says the Talmud Rebbe, Gevaldik. At this point in the story, there only were Shivrei Luchos. It's still called an Aron. It still brings bracha. It still wreaks havoc on the enemies. It still needs to be carried in the way of an Aron. And that's, yes, at this moment, yes, the Tachlis Shabo is that it should carry the Shivrei Luchos. The Luchos had been brought back, had been taken back to the Jewish camp, yeah.
Maybe even according to Rashi, we could say that there was a Havavim to close it because the Shivrei Luchos were in there. And he says, no, don't close it until the real Luchos are also in there.
Okay, good. Right, so you might think it's enough to put the cover on top once you have some of the Luchos. Says the Torah, you have to make sure don't put the cover on until all the Luchos are in. Good, very good, could be. Okay? So it's a beautiful hezber of the Midrashim and the Psukim and the Amari Chazal. It's really very, very nice. But there's an obvious, very obvious lesson for us, a very simple lesson for us. Right? And that is, what's the pshat with the Shivrei Luchos? Shivrei Luchos is a funny thing, that it's enough if it just has Shivrei Luchos to be called an Aron. What's the famous Maamar Chazal about Shivrei Luchos? And what does it teach us about respecting a person and their kesher to Torah and how Torah is supposed to change a person? The Gemara in Brachos in the Afchesimud base, in source number 12. Kida Amar Lehu, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, to his children. He gave them the following advice. Ashlimu parsho saich, parshio saichu matzibur shnayim mikrevecha targu. You should first and foremost be careful, be diligent in studying the weekly Torah portion, twice the psukim and once the targum. Second of all, hisharu, be careful when it comes to shchita, that you shecht all the way through. Hisharu bevriden, make sure you do a proper shchita. As Rabbi Yehuda taught, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at sheyishchot es hasvriden. Okay? Not sure how that works exactly, but anyone here into shchita? Okay, make sure you cut all the way through. Okay, when we learn chulin, we'll learn what that's about. And lastly, my third piece of advice for you: he's haru bezakin sheshachach tamud machmas onso. Be very sensitive and respectful and careful with the honor of a tamud chacham, who in his old age has what? Has become shivrei luchos. He can't give shir like he wants upon a time in his prime. Damrina luchos v'shivrei luchos munachos ba'aron. Right, the Luchos and the broken Luchos are both placed in the Aron. The question is, why? Why should we respect it? I mean, Okay, once upon a time, he's a big Talmid Chacham, he had a lot of clarity in Torah, and now, he's a simpleton, he's lost all of his Torah. So why should I respect him? Why do we keep the Shevei Luchos in the Aron? They're just broken rocks. They're not Luchos. The letters flew away. Those same letters, according to some, the Al-Shulch says, those same letters were the letters that ended up on the second Luchos. Mamash, the letters that flew away ended up on the second ones. These are literally just a bunch of rocks. So why am I respecting it? Why am I treating it with this kavod? So the answer is from the Baal Hilula from last week. The Yartzeit last week, one of the great Yartzeits last week, was the Kotzker. And I'm sure many of us heard the famous story with the Kotzker. The guy comes to the Kotzker, the fellow comes to the Kotzker, and he says to the Kotzker, I've gone through all of Shas. Nu, what's the famous reply at the Kotzker? And how much of Shas has gone through you? Meaning, how much have you absorbed Shas into your flesh and bones? How much of you is mamish built on Shas? Because a person can learn a lot of Torah. A person can learn a lot of Torah, and what? And it doesn't change him. See, the Zakein who we have to respect is someone who, he's forgotten the Torah, but the Torah changed him. His body, even though he can't give shir anymore, doesn't have the Torah ideas anymore, but the Torah impacted him, it shaped him, it molded him. So even though he doesn't have the books anymore, he's lost the ideas, but his whole mahus is a mahus of a Torah. As opposed to the person who what? Who went through Shas and maybe knows all the ideas, but how much of Shas went through you? The Gemara in Megillah says on Chav Ches Amabez, in Source 13, Hahu davitani hilchasa sifra sifrei tosefta, a person who mamish knew kol haTorah kula and shchiv, and he passed away. Asu va'amru leiler of Nachman, they said to Rav Nachman, nu, give a hesped. Amar, hechi nasvedei, how should I give a hesped for this person? What should I say? Hey, tzana demali sifrei dechasa. We've lost a basket of books. Nu, so is that a compliment or it's an insult? It's an insult. It means that what? So what? He's got the facts, but so what? He wasn't a true Torah person. He might look like whole luchos, but he's not at all. Says Rashi, should I say, woe to the basket of books that was lost? Inu, I'm sorry, hate son of Mali Sifrei, right? Eino ela kesal shemiluhu svarim. He's nothing more than a basket filled with books. Ve'ein maven ma'besocha. He's not changed by it. As opposed to the Gemara in Brachos Dav Ches, is talking about a real Talmud Chacham. That even after he's lost the books are gone, but the Shivri Luchos are munachos ba'aron. That they still sit in the aron. Because mamish, his very body is a body of Torah. Like our Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tzadites, it refers to a person who's zocha to Torah to have a deruftike da'araisa. You know what deruftike da'araisa means? Deruftike da'araisa means what? That you're like the mantle that wraps around the Torah. Right? That your body becomes what? Your body becomes literally the encasement, the case. The deruftike means the case, the aron that supports, that carries the Torah. And therefore even the person, right? The Pasul Torah is still in the aron. The Torah that's not so clear anymore. That letters are fading, but it's still in the aron. And that's because the aron has created the right environment for that Torah to exist. Okay, Ad Kan, the words of the Tolner Rebbe. But since Rav Chaim Brisker developed this yisod for us to teach us that again, an aron without Torah is not really an aron. And that's again the first and foremost the lesson we have to take. That it's not enough to just have the outer trappings of the aron, but it has to be filled with luchos to be called an aron. So I want to show you a vart from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. That's the exact same vart as this kotzker. Mamish, the exact same vart as this kotzker. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Ben Bag Bag Omer, Source 16. Hafoch ba vafoch ba dekula ba. Uva sechzei visiv uvala va. You should be so immersed in Torah that you grow old and weary from it. Umina lo sazua, you should never leave it, never depart from it. She'ein l'cha mida tove imena, because there's nothing better than it. Beautiful, beautiful Mishnah to end Pirkei Avos. Says the She'eris Menachem in Parshas Amor, quoting Rav Chaim Brisker. Look what he says. Zocha na'a v'chasuda shamati b'shem hagon Rav Chaim Soloveitchik zatzal. Based in the Brisk de Lita. She'amar le'ish. Amir echad, shahayetam echachem gadol, aval gam asimin shel ashirim mekamsin hayubo lesimin mufak. There was a person who was a big talmid chacham, yeah, but he was also a person of unrefined midos. He was a stingy person. He wasn't living up to the standards he should be living by. Va'omer ha'gon hanal pam achas al sarvanuso melitein sach mesuyam la'ezad davar gadol. So Chaim Brisker said, for a person who learns so much Torah, you should give tzedakah more generously. You should be a person who wants to do for Klal Yisrael. And you have the money. Why are you being so stingy? So Chaim Brisker once said, I want to tell you a vart about you. You learn a lot of Torah, but you're not acting like a Yid. Ben bag bag omer, hafoch ba vafoch ba dekula ba, uva sech zei visilu valava, umina lo sazua shein lecha mida tove mena. So look how Rav Chaim Brisker, very chassidish, read the Mishnah. Hafoch ba vafoch ba, gemarta daf, il alta daf sheni, right? Hafoch ba vafoch ba, you learned one page and another page and another page. Dekula ba, you mamash learned all of Shas, vaf kula, vachol ha-shas siyamta, beautiful. Nizdakanta bilimuda, and you've grown old from the learning. Now in the Mishnah that means you grow old, right? Grow wise. You live your whole life with the Torah. Zoso meres, look what it says. Kolachayim beleis dalet amos shel halacha. There's not a second of your life with it outside of the dalet amos halacha. So far good. Gevaldik. You did everything right. V'im kol zos. But you know what the Mishnah says? There could be a person who learns it all, spends his whole life learning it, and yet, what's the next line of the Mishnah? Minalo sazua. What's the pashup shot? From it, you never depart. You never move away from it. But he said, what? You're unmoved by it. Mina, from it, lo sazua. You haven't moved at all. You haven't changed at all. It hasn't changed. It hasn't made you a better person. Right? You don't really have the luchos in your aram. Your luchos is still outside your aram. The Talmud Chacham who really learns Torah, even when he becomes shivei luchos, really still has luchos in the aram. And that's enough to be called an aram. V'haraya, it says Rav Chaim Brisker, you know what the biggest proof is? That you've gained nothing from the Torah that you claim to have learned? She'ein lecha mida tov heimena. Again, the pashup shad is, you never left Torah because there's no choice better than it. But he says, I look at your midos, ein lecha mida, you don't have a single mida tova from it. You haven't become a good Jew because of it. So you're not really learning. You haven't made a kinyan on the Torah that you're learning. A Jew is supposed to be built on Torah. And the Aron is our guf. And we have to fill it with Torah. And we have to fill it to such a degree that even if at the end of our life we become shivrei luchos, and chas v'shalom, halavai, we should be zochet to go to 120 with a clarity of mind. But even if, Rahman al-Tzan, you see old people, and there's not much left except for the Aron, but if the Aron has shivrei luchos, if it's really made a kinyan in the luchos, that their body has been changed, that they're called a deruftike d'arais, that they're the case of the Torah, then you're still an Aron. Then halachically, you're still an Aron. I want to just end. I want to show you an amazing thing from Avram Shor. From Gedalia Shor. So now let's take a look at his son for 1 second. They put out in Tavshin Samach Zayin, this little quintus here, called B'mispar Shemos. Rav Shor wrote this on the occasion of the dedication of a Torah in his shul. Yud Dalit Cheshvan, Tavshin Samach Zayin. And he writes primarily about this sefer, which I also brought along, this little thing. This tiny little sefer called Avas Torah. Okay, it's a rare sefer. I had it printed online. Got myself a copy of it through an online order. And at the beginning of the sefer, Avas Torah, which is all about the letters of the Torah, the numbers of names of Hashem in the Torah, there's a mimer at the beginning called Mimer Migdal Oz, where he talks about, where he writes about the fact that the Torah has Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, 1,820 times, 1820. It's a good number to know. And he brings a lot of Ramazim based on that. Rav Shor, Kedarko V'Kodesh, is Marich, on those Ramazim. So let's just look at one page together. Amazing. And you'll see what it means to be built on Torah. And I shared this, I think, outside in the past, but let's see it inside. Look what he writes here. On page Zion. Yeah, on the last page of the photocopies. Ramazim Ashaychem L'Tfila. You see? No, you didn't get...
Back.
Yeah, in the back. Flip one more page.
Oh.
Okay, this is from Rav Shor's, Rav Avram Shor's, Kuntris B'Mispar Shemos. Look what he writes. We'll end with this. Ksiv. Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Osa Asa Adam. Do you know that your mamash built on Torah? Amazing. Look what he says. A person is created b'tzelem elokim. Ula adam chai chulios b'shidra. Your spine is made up of 18 vertebrae. V'chulya katana. And on top of that, there's a small bone. Right, or on the bottom, really, of that. Is a small bone. Kasher Amru Chazal, the Gemara says in Brachos, why do we have 18 Brachos in Shemona Esrei? Says Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, Keneged the 18 Chulios Shebeshidra. Keneged the 18 vertebrae of the spine. Ah, says the Gemara, but really there's 19 Brachos in Shemona Esrei? What are we going to do with Birchas HaSadukim, Vlam Al Shinim? So the Gemara says, In the name of Yeshua ben Levi, keneged chulya katana shebeshidra. Well, you don't really actually have 18 verbatim. You really have 18 plus another one, which is a small one. Okay. So look what Rashi says. What a chiddush. V'chashavti lo marsha chulya katana hu chamishis min chulya. We know, he's basing himself on the words of Rabbeinu Bachaye, that what? That the chulya katana is a fifth the size of a regular vertebra. So a person's spine is made up of 18.2, right? One-fifth of the regular size. 18.2 vertebrae. Yeah? The chulya katana is 0.2. It's one-fifth of the regular size of the vertebrae. So 18.2. Okay? So look what he says. Look how you're built on Torah. How many names of Hashem do we say in the Torah? In the Sefer Avos Torah? There's 18.20. Let me show you how 18.20 names of Hashem in the Torah turns into 18.2, right? Vertebrae that make up your guf, that build your body, that literally is the backbone of your existence. The kasav of ha'arve nachal, writes the arve nachal, yeah? You see on top of Ches now? Ki Torah debriya nitna. We know that there's four worlds. When Hashem decided to express himself below, he expressed himself through four worlds, and each with spheros and many levels upon levels. But simply put, right, if you look at little Nefesh HaChaim, you've seen these names, Atzilus, nearness, the closest world to Hashem, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. We're in the world of Asiya. Atzilus is the closest to Hashem. Bria, initial formation, Yitzira, further formation, Asiya. The Arvei Nachal says that our Torah comes from the world of Bria, whatever that means. Okay, not for now. I can barely explain much about it. That's what Arvei Nachal says. We trust the Arvei Nachal. Our Torah came to us from the world of Bria. Ki Torah de Bria nitna. So what does it take to get from Bria to Asiya? What does it take to compare our Torah to ourselves in the world of Asiya, my physical self? So he says the following. The Svarim tell us that each of these worlds represents a different column, so to speak, in the numbers column. Asiya is the single digits, the ones column. Yetzira is the tens column. Bria is the hundreds column. And Atzilus is 1,000, is Aleph. And there's really nothing more than Aleph, because Aleph is back to Aleph, brings you full circle. That's why we call multiples of thousands Rivavot. It's just a reboy of Aleph. Okay? So you have 1, you have 10, you have 100, you have Aleph. That's where the number system, so to speak, maxes out from a Pnimius HaTorah perspective. So that means we're taking a Torah from the world of Bria, the hundreds column, and we're bringing it into the ones column. We're taking the Torah from Bria and creating a us, a human being, a flesh and blood, in the world of Asiya. So you kind of have to take the Torah with its 1,820 names of Hashem that give it its Kedusha, and you have to divide by 100. You're taking it from the hundreds column, and you're bringing it down to the ones column. Right? So what exists as 1820 in Bria becomes what in Asiya? 18.2. And that's the spine of a person. That a person is mamish built on Torah. A person mamish is built on Torah. But again, you have to make sure that if you want the Aron to be an Aron, or like I always say, when a person passes away, we put you in an Aron. We put your body in an Aron. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, we bury it not in a coffin, but right, there's a concept of an Aron Shalmeis. The Aron Shalmeis is your Aron Kodesh. But at the end of your life, we put you in an Aron and we say, you know, are you a Sefer Torah? Are you a Deruftiki Deoraisa? And even if you become Shivrei Luchos, but have you absorbed it to such a degree that it can't be erased, and the Shem Aron can't be taken, even if the real Luchos aren't in the Aron. But the Shivrei Luchos, when they're by the Plishtim, they also can still be Poel as an Aron. And when they're at the home of that Jew who's watching over the Aron for that period of time, he's seeing tremendous brachos. In Oved Edom's home, there's this tremendous bracha because he has a real Aron, even though it's only Shivrei Luchos. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem. We should be people who realize that our guf is a cheftza of the Aron, and the cheftza of the Aron, part of the cheftza of the Kli, is that it has to be filled with Torah in order for it to be an Aron, to bring Kedusha to our lives. Okay, Shkoyach, thanks.